In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The parable of the prodigal son is a death and resurrection story. We are evaluating ourselves and preparing within just a couple of weeks to begin a spiritual effort in our life. And the chances of our getting off on the wrong foot are so good that we take these few weeks ahead of time while we can still relax and depend on being able to turn to the sustenance of the good food of the world and other things that reassure our bodies and our worldly minds and hearts, and try to evaluate ourselves. Father John Baer says that the parable of the prodigal son is Jesus Christ's diagnosis of our situation. And that includes both the elder son and the younger son. The elder son is a lot like the Pharisee. And Father John points out about the Pharisee that the Pharisee has done nothing wrong. He has not broken any of the laws of Moses. He is faithful to the law, and he is diligent and dutiful in his observance and his attendance to all of the services. He has done everything that God has asked of him. And yet there is something wrong. As Jesus tells these parables, these stories, we can hear that his understanding of things is different. Different from the world and different from a religion that grows up out of a kinship to the world and a comfort with the good things of the world, as the Pharisee is comfortable. As the elder son follows the path of being faithful to the things that he needs to do in his father's house, he has, exactly as he tells his father, been faithful in all things. All these years he has served his father and done all of the things that need to be done. And yet there is something different, something more that is being brought by Christ. Something that the publican is a better example of than the observant Jew who follows the law and does all of the things that the law requires. And thanks God for enabling him to do all of those things and not making him someone who is cut off from those things like the publican. But there is something more than the observance of all these things, than the accomplishment of anything that we can accomplish. St. Paul says that Jesus Christ did not count being like God as something to be grasped. This is Jesus Christ himself, the incarnate Son of God himself, the divine Son, in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. Because of the oneness of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when he is incarnate in the world and is born, the God-man, Jesus, the Christ, he is God. He does not count likeness to God as something to be grasped. And that is a lesson for us. We cannot be like God by grasping the gifts that God gives to us. We can't receive them as we receive the gifts of the world and own them and have them and experience a sense of betterness than others, an uplifting sense that we have accomplished something because we have followed the path of Christ and tried to accept the gifts of sonship in our own way. If our way of trying to accept the gifts of sonship that God gives to us is done in the same way that we grasp the things of the world, we will only succeed in becoming better Pharisees. Christian Pharisees who attend all the services and follow all of the commandments of Christ as we understand them with our worldly ears. But our being a Christian becomes quickly a project that our ego undertakes, and our ego is sustained, and that's the problem. The prodigal son, and remember, prodigal means to squander and to spend everything, which is what he does. To be prodigal is to waste and spend everything. And surely as he wastes and spends everything, his sense of his importance, his happiness with himself, what we now call his ego, is joyful until there is nothing left. And finally, he faces death itself. And confronting death, he turns and goes back to his father's house. And what is his condition when he returns to his father's house? He doesn't say to himself, "My father will give me special gifts that will enable me to be the kind of son that he wants. And I will return and I will be all that any father could ask, because the things of my father's house will enable me to do all as they ought to be done, and better than it has ever been done before." Too often that is how we think. It is when we mean to turn away from our dependence on the things of the world and instead grasp the spiritual gifts of Christ. Religious faith can be yet another way of building ourselves up. And if we see ourselves looking at others and feeling as though they have not done as much in that direction as we have, if we find ourselves calling them to account for not having attended as many services as we have, for not having been as rigorous in our spiritual readings and our study and our prayers as we have, then we know that we are using our religious faith in exactly the same way that we have always used the things of the world to build up our own sense of ego, being better than others. That isn't the spirit that the prodigal returns to the father with. In order to be able to learn something new, which is what needs to happen whenever we make a spiritual effort, we're not just reaffirming old things and trying to bear down and do better. A better way of fasting, a better way of praying, more prayers, additional time spent. Maybe we can, God help us, be successful. And will we be better with that new strong sense of our own religious identity, our sense of spiritual superiority? We will be better off if we fail. Then at least we'll have the chance to return, like the prodigal son who has wasted the gifts of God. We have something to learn. We have to learn something new. We can see that we don't know how to return, and we're in a much better condition if that is our understanding of things, that we want to be as God tells us we can be through Christ, but we don't know how. That is a very good place to be. Because if we think we do know how, and we start doing it, then we're just back on the same old path, the same old road. This time I will follow all of the fasting rules. I will come to the day of Forgiveness Sunday, and I will give a heartfelt and emotional forgiveness to others. And I will begin the spiritual effort. It has nothing to do with our emotions. It has nothing to do with a firm intention to accomplish everything perfectly. That will only build us up. We have to realize that we don't know how to be like God. And if we use worldly means to try to be like Christ, we will end up building ourselves up. If we are going to be like Christ, we have to begin at the point where He transformed our humanity on the cross, where our humanity died. After that, there is the resurrection. And then there is some building to be done. But it has to be done after we abandon the effort to accomplish the spiritual life ourselves. I love movies. I've always loved them. I grew up with television. And I looked for good ones. I looked for challenging ones. Mainly I'm disappointed. They're generally not the ones that make the most money. The other day I saw a parable of our spiritual lives as Americans today. I didn't enjoy it until it was over, and I started to think about it. Now, a movie like that, that inspires reflection, that's something special. I'm talking about Birdman. A lot of people probably haven't even heard of it. We all go to and see superhero movies. This motion picture, Michael Keaton, who played Batman years ago, is someone who is hounded, ridden by a demon-like character, a heroic figure, his ego. He can't get away from it. It keeps telling him how great he could have been and was. We were great, it tells him. Join yourself again with me and we can be great again. Keaton's character fights against this domination by his ego. He tries to establish a better relationship with his wife, whom he's betrayed. He tries to establish a better relationship with his daughter, whom he's never been a good father to. Throughout the film, he struggles desperately. Whether he wins or whether he loses, he's in doubt at the end. It is just possible that all of his struggles led in the end to a death and resurrection of the ego. It's possible. Maybe not. Good motion picture, you don't know one way or the other. Our lives are so much the same. I remember my own conversion experience. There was a disaster in my life, a soul-shattering disaster. And I withdrew for years and struggled. Discovered eventually the realities of the Christian faith, the spiritual realities of life, those realities that I and no human being are equal to grasping and using as a means to make themselves as they ought to be. They are beyond grasping. They belong to God. They can only be approached in humility. And I knew, even at that time, that the possibility existed that my conversion could, in the end, possibly be a case of the death of the ego and its resurrection in the end. And so the struggle began for the next more than 30 years, not to let the ego take over this new ground, this new territory, and to let it build me up into the same miserable condition that I was when I first became open to the realities of the Christian faith. Every spiritual experience is like that. It has to do with making that kind of spiritual effort. It is doing battle with our delusions, our illusions about ourselves, our passions, we call them. They aren't just a desire for food or a lust for the things of the world. They are a desire to use the things of the world, the objects of passion, in order to build ourselves up into a deluded condition where we experience ourselves as being something significant and important on our own, and God is forgotten. That is the delusion that we intend to struggle against, to smash against the rock of Christ. That is our task. That is the meaning of our life. And next week, we will look at the consequences of not undertaking that kind of a life. The Sunday of the Last Judgment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.